man without whom television would still be on the radio. In 1984, he took the talk show and shook the bejesus out of it and remains just about the zippiest mind in the medium. He's also a friend of mine, so I can be as rude as I like over the next few minutes to the king of modern thought. It's Jonathan Ross! Yeah! All right. One thing everyone says about you, and I'll get this in without looking at you first, they say he always looks so great without a hair out of place, and I said, he used to be a geeky teenager. And you were, weren't you? Were you always like that?
I was like, you know, everyone goes through a stage when they're unattractive. Normally it's the kind of fetus stage, and I just was like a fetus that just grew up and didn't change. You know, when I was about 13, I was like a sort of 5'11" fetus wandering around, which there were people who liked that kind of look.
But real tall, right?
Very tall, always tall, very big feet, but I was very thin. I put on weight as I've acquired the kind of family and lifestyle, but I used to be very thin, and I looked quite freakish, in fact.
Yeah.
And I do have very weak eyes. I mean, I can't see back further than that, so the glasses are this thick.
Yeah, yeah.
And back then when you were a kid, you know, you just get the glasses that your mum and dad, you got the opticians, you either got the National Health glasses, or maybe they fork out for a fancier pair, and I saw this kind of thing, they'll do, and they were like horrible Hank Marvin pear drop glasses.
Mm.
And I didn't realise that, you know, the bigger the glass with the big lens, the worse you look, and my eyes were tiny little holes back here. And so wandering around, like, the fetus with the glasses look, it just never really gelled.
Were you a teacher's pet at school? Were you loved at school?
I don't think so. I don't think I was really noticed. I hid at the back of the class. I was pretty quiet. I can only really remember one teacher. I mean, I don't remember that many people there particularly, apart from two people who owe me money still, but I don't really remember any of the people I went to school with. But there was one teacher who I feared. I certainly wasn't a teacher's pet. It's a man called Mr. Goss, who I think still teaches there.
Yeah.
And he was like he looked a bit like a cross between kind of Charles Bronson and like sort of Rasputin. You know, he was a mean looking man. Well, he wasn't bad, I'm sure he had his fans. And I was doing A-level history.
Yeah.
A-level history, and this was a school in Lancaster. There weren't that many people stayed on to A-level history. There were three of us, to be precise, in the class. So it was really hard if you wanted to bunk off and play truant, because there you go.
Yeah.
A third of the class is gone. They would know this. You know, we all sat in the front row, and if one of us wasn't there, and it was often me. And I remember once going to school, it was in the winter, and you know when you go to school, you never carry handkerchiefs, you don't have tissues, and I had what you get, had that sort of dribbly nose cold you get.
Yeah.
And so it did what everyone did, you know, you blow it on your gloves, don't you, when you're going to school. But these gloves were no longer absorbent. This cold had gone on for so long. I'm just telling you, this is a build-up to the teacher's relationship.
A four-eyed fetus with a snotty kind of glove. It's what a wonderful thing.
Yeah, I'm sure some girls probably found me quite attractive.
These
gloves were quite shiny and no longer absorbent. So I had nothing to blow my nose on. I'm sitting in this class in the front row. The guy's sitting there and there's nowhere to hide. And this nose is like a tap. It's dripping, dripping, dripping. And so what I'm doing is when he glances away at the blackboard, also saying, I'll go like that really quickly. And just take care of it, and then on the trousers, on the tie-neck. You're saying it, you've all done it. Even Batman's done it.
Who is with us this evening?
Yeah, and I remember thinking, oh, I'm getting away with this. It was like a two-hour, you know, double lesson thing, and I'm sitting there, all that kind of stuff, every trick I'm thinking of. And then finally, and I've got away with it, I think. I didn't think Mr. Goss, this figure who I actually quite feared, because he was also a PE teacher.
Oh, yeah.
You know that terrible thing when they double up, and you're a PE teacher and a teacher of some sort of lesson, and you know, they couldn't care less about the lesson, they just want to give you a hard time on the rugby
pitch.
So I'm doing all this, and finally, I really need to get rid of a bit, and he's looking away, I think, I'll risk it. So I go up, and I'm going to it a little bit like that, you see, that was my plan. And I go, he turns back well. So I put it away,
and
it's a star. Now you see,
I don't know if we want to. I hate that.
We should be saying this in front of Batman.
But
it got worse because there's a strand there.
I think,
get rid of the strand. So I go like that, and that, and that. And then it's like a cat's cradle. It was like, suddenly it was me, and it was like a spaghetti western. It was just his eyes looking at me, and me looking back with a cat's cradle hanging from my nose. And he looked away, and there was a look of such disgust in this man's eyes. I've never before or since seen. And he just said he turned away to give me the time to do it. And it was like, I went, oh, Jesus.
I can't even remember how we got onto this. I'm with it.
It was completely tenuous.
I just
shoehorned it in there.
You was a milkman. I just remembered.
I wasn't a milkman. I was a milk boy.
You were the milk. You told me
I was a milk boy. I was a milk boy. I assisted the milkman in his milkmanly chores.
He said you was a milkman and you were hung like a pint of gold top. That's what you told me.
I was never a milkman, but one out of two ain't bad. I was a milk boy. Yeah. I was a milk boy. Once it gives me something in common with Batman, curiously, because it was very cold in the winter. And what I used to do as a milk boy, getting up early, I would put on my mother's tights under my trousers.
Yeah.
I would put on my mother's tights, and I hope she knows that was the reason to this day. Maybe
yeah, sure. Yeah. Well, theatrical. You were born with
it. I was going dancing or something.
This is absolutely blind. I don't know this. Is it sexy on a milk brand? Did you get people then saying, wow, the guy in the glasses with the snot looking like a fetus?
Well, when you put it like that, you'd think it would happen, wouldn't you? But no, it never was. There was never any offer, but I don't think I'd have known what to do with it, to be honest with you, if it had have come up.
You made a virgin until when?
Oh, until... I'm not quite sure of the exact date, but it was certainly... I was certainly older than 18.
Really?
Younger than 30. So it was, well, yeah, I was older than 18. Well, Well, we don't get too technical with the term virgin, of course.
No, I'm just saying, you just said I wouldn't have known what to do with it, so I'm thinking, well,
when I was a milkman, I was about 11, 12. Unless you're George Michael, you don't know what to do with that.
I didn't know. I thought you meant
about 16, 17. When I was 16, 17, I had a bread round. Then I might have known what to do with it, but I've been too scared to do it. But I remember the only sexual encounter I had was curiously out of it. It was a Saturday job, bread round. I used to deliver sun-blessed bread to people. So the next time you have a sun-blessed, remember, some kid like me had his hands on it first before you get it. And we went to the guy who used to stop for a pasty and a cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. And the bread man, I was the bread boy, he was the bread man. Bread man and bread boy, it's like Batman and Robin. And we used to stop at his house for a pasty and a cup of coffee. And I'm in there one day, and as you do, you nose around. He goes up and make the coffee, and I'm thinking, this is an adult house. He has a wife. There is a young, beautiful woman. He has a woman. I've never had a girlfriend. And I just, any hint of femininity used to get me to a giddy tiz. You know, like, she'd walk in the room and I'd go, oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, and so anyway, I'm feeling around, I'm thinking, maybe there's some perfume in or something. I reach down the side of the couch, and I'm like, I'm the least experienced man in the world. You know, boy, I kissed one girl at a wedding, you know, and I giggled so much, I was so excited. She'd push me and say, so what are you doing? And it hadn't gone his way. And I reached down the side of the couch, and I pulled out, and it was a vibrator. I remember this day, because it was yay big, and it was white, a little
How
white
big?
Vibrator. Yay big. that's 12 inches? And, you know, Batman's on the show tonight, did you know? I remember I froze with fear. I thought, my God, they have sex. And it just hadn't occurred to me.
Well, I'm glad I asked the question.
Well, I'm terribly sorry. I went totally off the line.
No, I think that's fine. I mean, now can you live up to... Because the reason you end up on the show tonight is that everyone still thought you were in America, because you've been in America for like 2 months or something.
Yeah, I was
and
out there.
I said, no, you're back, because we spoke.
I was out there working, doing some stuff.
Doing what?
I did a thing with a David Copperfield, this magician that went out on BBC One, and I did an interview which hasn't gone out yet with Hugh Hefner, the man who founded Playboy back in the 50s. I'm quite a fan of Hugh Hefner.
He did his place.
I went to his house. I went to Playboy Mansion West, and you know, I'm sure most of you've heard of Playboy Mansion, and you've
and
heard
did
of.
Did you feel under the couch? And
everything? Well, you've heard. I didn't.
Oh, look at his mother!
In Playboy Mansion, they have them mounted on the walls. You don't have to sniff around, mate.
You've made this program.
I interviewed Hugh Hefner. It was a good interview, and I asked him as many questions as I could think of at the time. Yeah. One question which I was fascinated by, because he lived the life. You know, he was the Playboy image. He portrayed in the magazine. He lived it. He was a single guy. He split up with his wife, and he just had this incredible life where he just flew around the world and just basically lived this hedonistic lifestyle. You know, parties all the time. Hundreds of different sexual partners, the works. And I asked him in the interview, I said, may I ask you, Mr. Hefner, how many of the women featured in the magazine, The Playmates, have you slept with over the years? He said, well, I gave up counting back in the late 50s. So already I'm thinking, I'm sick already. I'm thinking, you mean you slept with enough people to actually give up counting?
Yeah, your little milk boy story kind of fails.
That was it. It's gone now.
Yeah, but
I said, well, when you gave up counting, how many was it? And he said, well, it was in the thousands. And by this time, I believe that.
Can you believe it? I'm gonna wrap this up there, because we've gone off in tangents. But what do you want to do, Jonathan? Because a lot of people say that. I mean, say, oh, you're doing a chat show now, don't you? And so here's the BBC cup. Oh, seriously, what do you want to do?
What I want to do? I want to do... It feels like one of those commercials where you see people sitting on a couch and they go, I want to be a deep sea diver.
No. Are you happy sitting in front of the cameras, or do you...
I'm very happy in front of the cameras. I want to do a new version of a talk show, but with a sort of movie thing. So I'm a huge movie fan, and no one does that sort of thing. And the idea of doing a show which had the theme of being about the movies and with movie stars each week is one which appeals to me enormously. And, of course, the biggest draw is the fact I never have to pay and go and see a film again. So that's on the cards, I guess.
Yeah, but you're not going to rule out kind of Chet showed them, yeah?
Danny, when you're sitting here, there's no need for us to discuss it.
Come on, no, I'm not. All I'm saying is they open another branch of this sucker on a Wednesday night. I think between the pair of
I would do something like that. Definitely. Yeah. Especially if I could get Batman on.
It's been too long, I say, when the king of the Chet shows them, Mr. Jonathan Ross, right there. I can't